How are we to respond to the recent Supreme Court decision that struck down affirmative action in the application process? Let's put it this way. Is affirmative action biblical justice? Is justice colorblind or is it not? Are policies that favor one race over another race racist or are they not? Proponents of quotas argue that these policies, like affirmative action, race-based quotas, were created to counteract egregious acts of racism in the past. Some Christians note that what we need today is more biblical, not social justice. Ben Quine of Christians Engaged is the co-producer of the recently released 8-part video series, we have a link to it, called Biblical Justice, Answers for Difficult Days. Ben Quine joins us now. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Ben Quine, it's good to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Jerry, thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Sure. So there's been a lot of brouhaha after the affirmative action decision, especially a lot of hand-wringing that you see on the leftist media and so forth. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it is a very important decision, certainly groundbreaking decision, and that actually brings the court really back in line with the historical precedents that had been established first by the 14th Amendment and then by the rulings of the court in terms of the 1880s, and then certainly and especially after the Civil Rights Act and ending the Jim Crow era.
Okay, and so what do you mean?
Well, the thing is that the 14th Amendment clearly says that nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. So the 14th Amendment establishes this idea of equality before the law or equal protection. That means the law can't discriminate based on race. It can't treat anyone differently based on race. And that's what this court case was about, and SCOTUS clearly ruled that, as in the case of the 14th Amendment, there's an amazing quote from the opinion by Chief Justice Roberts talking about how at the time it was written, the Equal Clause represented, quote, a foundational principle, the absolute equality of all citizens of the United States politically and civilly before their own laws. The Constitution determined that we should never be allowed to permit any discrimination based on race or color. And and then this ruling, Justice Roberts again wrote that eliminating racial discrimination means eliminating all of it. The Equal Protection Clause, we have accordingly held, applies without regard to any difference of race or color or nationality. And that is such a high application of this idea of equality, and it's really important because it's such a biblical idea. The Bible again and again teaches that laws should be created that treat everyone equally, and that the application of the law, whether that's law enforcement or judges, that they should apply the law equally. Leviticus 19 says, "You should not be partial to the poor or defer to the great." Numbers 15 says, "For you and the stranger, there must be one law, one rule for both." In Deuteronomy, God talks about how important it is for judges to be just, and he says, you shall not pervert justice, you shall not show partiality. And of course, the reason for that is that God himself is a God of justice, and he shows no partiality. Romans 2 says God shows no partiality. That's Romans 2:11. And in James, we're commanded, James chapter 2, verse 1 says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's really amazing that this SCOTUS ruling that upholds equality is so in line with the biblical principle of equality. And, you know, we see that God forbids, similar just to this ruling, that God forbids any partiality, any favoritism based on social status, based on power or wealth, or in really any other category. And of course, that's exactly what affirmative action does. It goes against that. It shows favoritism. Affirmative action shows partiality. And really, it's just a fancy name for racial discrimination.
Okay. Dr. Martin Luther King said we should judge people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Therefore, yes. You know, he would then have agreed with this particular decision. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I would never presume to put words in Dr. King's mouth, but I certainly believe it's very biblical, you know.
But his notion would be very biblical, right? The idea to judge people by the content of the character, not the color of their skin.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's such a great point. And he's so right on that. In fact, if you look through all of scripture, you're going to see again and again that favoritism, partiality, these are prohibited. But what's interesting is that the Bible never prohibits partiality based on race. Hold on. Don't give up yet. I'm not saying that the Bible is accepting it. But the reason is because why does it not have that prohibition? That's because in the Bible, race is not a legitimate category at all. God never groups people by race, okay? We are all members of one race, the human race. We're all brothers and sisters. We're children of Adam and Eve, descendants of Noah and his family. So the whole concept of race really is a forbidden category biblically. We can identify people based on language, geography, citizenship, family, male and female, saved or unsaved. These are biblical categories, but biblically we should never divide people, label people by race, and we must never, never show partiality based on race. One more point on this, if I can, is that this idea or these actions of favoritism and racism, this partiality, it's a sin. It's been around for millennia, but the modern concept of race and the superiority of certain races, we have to remember it comes really was reignited by Charles Darwin. And that's why most people don't even know the full title of his most famous book. We call it On the Origin of Species, but really the title is On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or On the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. So you see right there in the title, he's stating his view that certain races are more advanced or favored in the evolutionary struggle for life. And as Christians, we absolutely reject that false view. It's degrading and it's a racist philosophy.
Excellent point. Clarence Thomas agreed with the majority in the affirmative action decision, but he had a couple of quotes that I wanted to bring to the table because they're just so powerful. Yes. In fact, he was responding to Ketanji Brown Jackson, who disagreed with the affirmative action decision from the recent Supreme Court decision. Okay, here's what Clarence Thomas said. Quote, individuals are the sum of their unique experiences, challenges, and accomplishments. What matters is not the barriers they face, but how they choose to confront them. And their race is not to blame for everything, good or bad, that happens in their lives. And then the commentary was made. Thomas wrote a concurring opinion, and here's again from Thomas himself, quote, to offer an originalist defense of the colorblind constitution and to clarify that all forms of discrimination based on race, including so-called affirmative action, are prohibited under the constitution and to emphasize the pernicious effects of all such discrimination. Again, end quote from Clarence Thomas. Your thoughts?
Well, absolutely. And of course, we get into this in a lot more detail in the biblical justice course. But this idea of individual responsibility goes hand in hand. We have equality. We have individual responsibility, two just key foundational biblical principles in terms of what justice means. I think of Ezekiel 18:20, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the father, nor the father suffer for the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Or Deuteronomy 24:16 says, fathers shall not be put to death because of their children, nor shall children be put to death because of their fathers. Each one shall be put to death for his own sin. So this is the idea that we're not going to be treated legally based on our group status, but we're to be treated legally based on our individual actions, on our individual status. I believe that's what Clarence Thomas is stating, Justice Thomas is stating in that opinion, that the proper way to treat individuals is by their own actions, by their own merits, and by their own accomplishments.
The Asian Americans were among those, you know, against this affirmative action because they were on the losing end of this actual policy. So, for example, and this is my statistics, I think, are approximate, not exact, but it's to this effect. In fact, it's even higher than this. Basically, policies at schools like Harvard gave a black candidate for the school, all things being equal other than race, a more than 50% chance of getting in versus an Asian candidate, again, all things being equal, who had less than a, you know, like about a 15% chance of getting in. So more than 50% for the black candidate and only 15% for the Asian American candidate. So the Asian American sued because it's not fair.
That's right. It's absolutely not fair. And they were being harmed. Now, you mentioned this earlier, but one of the motivating factors is an attempt sort of to make things right. But the great problem with affirmative action and all similar kinds of repayments are that they end up hurting innocent people, you know.
You mean like even reparations? I mean, some people are talking about, oh, all we need to have is reparations and it's justice and so forth. And it reminds me of the meme I've seen where it showed, you know, a little poor little Japanese child or whatever. And, you know, it's like, let's blame her for Pearl Harbor. You know, it's like, wait a minute. I had nothing to do with slavery. That happened 150 years ago.
That's exactly correct. And that's what the passage I was just quoting, Deuteronomy 24, Exodus 18. The point is that we're not guilty. We're not liable legally for the sins of our parents or sins of our grandparents, and certainly not for the sins that our grandparents didn't commit. You know, so to try to enforce a payment or put a penalty on generational sin would be very unbiblical.
Okay, we have about 2 or 3 minutes left. Ben, tell us about social justice versus biblical justice. I'm sure that's one of the issues that you cover in your program called, or it's a series of videos called Biblical Justice, Answer for Difficult Days.
Absolutely. Thanks. Well, it's very exciting because we try to go through the whole of Scripture and really lay the foundation for what biblical justice means, talking about how justice flows from God's character. It's an intrinsic part of who he is. It's built into the gospel. And then God calls us to live that out. And so Christians, we're all called to do justice. We want to see social justice, but in so many ways, modern social justice has really turned biblical principles on their heads. I'll give you one example, and that is the idea of equity. So historically, equity was really a synonym for equality, another word to meaning treat everyone equally, treat them fairly, treat them the same way. But now we've redefined that term to mean not equal treatment, but equality of outcome or equal outcomes.
So in other words, equality of opportunity, but not equality of outcome, because you could never guarantee that anyway.
Well, the only way to guarantee that is through injustice, and that is absolutely enforcing equal outcomes by taking from those who have and giving to those who haven't. And that's one of the definitions of injustice right there.
That's amazing. Ben, tell me a little bit about your background. I mean, it's amazing. And this ChristiansEngaged.org, that's a way people can get more information on you and your ministry that you've been working on with Bunny Pounds of Christians Engaged.
Right. Thank you so much. I really have a background in education. I've written several books on the biblical worldview and how that applies, especially for younger students, how they can see different worldviews coming through in art and music. With my parents' company, it's a homeschool curriculum company called Cornerstone Curriculum, and Christians Engaged has been around as a ministry for just a couple years now. We're really, really new, but we're just so excited because God is using this ministry very powerfully to equip believers to pray, to vote, and engage, to get involved. And we're just really seeing such a hunger for Christians to make an impact. And people want to get involved, but they don't necessarily know how. And so that's what we do. We equip them. We have weekly prayer time, praying for our nation, one of the most important things we can do. We have a voter mobilization system that will remind you and any of your friends who sign up to get out to vote. You'll never miss an election again. And then we have this incredible series of curriculum that teaches you how to get involved, how the political system works, and how to get involved, especially from a biblical worldview. So I hope you will all check out our courses and check out our pledge at ChristiansEngaged.org.
Okay, Ben Quine, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Take care.